This episode is brought to you by Dietz and Watson.
Molly, it's time we have the talk about hot dogs.
Okay. Well, hey, I'm looking for a hot dog that's the real deal, Matthew.
Like a classic hot dog that, like, when you think of, like, the platonic ideal of a hot dog, I recommend Dietz and Watson's Dietz dogs.
Ah, well, I've heard that they're handcrafted and made using only Dietz and Watson premium meat.
I can vouch for this because Dietz and Watson sent us a big box of hot dogs and other delights, and wife of the show, Lori, and I had them for dinner last night. We had the classic beef Dietz dogs with toasted buns with sauerkraut and pickled jalapenos and Dietz and Watson ballpark-style yellow mustard.
Do you think you'd recommend Dietz and Watson hot dogs for fried rice?
Oh, yeah. Fried rice with some sliced hot dogs. I'm going to be doing that soon. Wife of the show, Lori, is going to be making the hot dog flour buns from Christina Cho's cookbook, Mooncakes and Milk Bread. Very excited for this.
And I'm especially pleased because Dietz and Watson does things the right way. So this means, like, no additives, no fillers, no artificial flavors, no cutting corners. You can feel good about this stuff.
Dietz and Watson. It's a family thing since 1939.
Shop now at dietzandwatson.com/the right way.
That's Dietz, D-I-E-T-Z, and watson.com/the right way. I'm Matthew.
I'm Molly.
And this is Spilled Milk, the show where we cook something delicious, eat it all, and you can't have any.
Today, we are talking about pan pizza.
Yeah, I'm wearing my apron during this episode, so you know it's a good day in the studio.
Yeah. Matthew, you know, I know I've talked before on the show about how good Matthew's cooking is and how I feel often that, like, I get to just show up and eat really tasty food and, like, call it a job. But seriously, today I'm feeling, like, deep, sappy gratitude for my co-host,
which isn't
funny. So I don't know how I'm gonna turn myself around for this episode.
It's okay. You can prostrate yourself before me for one episode.
Okay.
This episode is about pan pizza, and I'm a little nervous about this one for a couple reasons. It's kind of like a supreme, but with some pickled peppers on there. I'm nervous because, like, pizza is a thing that a lot of people know a lot more than I do about.
Seriously.
And particularly pan pizza is kind of the pizza of the moment. But also at the same time, I don't want to come off as, like, a pizza guy on the internet who thinks he knows more than you about pizza and, like, you got to try the pizza the way I make it kind of guy.
Oh, my God.
So we're just students here of life.
I know pizza guys. Matthew sent me a text. So we're taping this on a Thursday. We usually tape on Thursdays. Matthew sent me a text on Tuesday, midday. I'm so excited about eating pan pizza on Thursday. And then 2 exclamation points. I love texting with you on occasions like that when you write to me 48 hours ahead of eating something to tell me how excited you are about eating it.
Can you imagine what my sexting game is like?
Oh my God. Can you give us an example?
Non-existent, pretty much.
Oh.
I don't know. I feel nervous. Like, you know, what if wife of the show, Lori, is, like, in the middle of something important at work and, like, it's not a good time to receive a sext. I don't think I've ever really sent anything.
Oh my gosh. But does it show up, like, on her desktop or something? Is she, like, doing an important presentation and shows up like
I? That's what I was gonna say. It's the big board meeting at work, and she's up there with the PowerPoint, and suddenly, like, you know, ding, 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 like doodly doot, like a full screen message from me shows up. I'm not even gonna say, like, what it would say.
Doodly doot.
It would say, "I want a doodly doot." I've ruined every board meeting this way.
I just doodly dooted while thinking about you. That's the kind of text I usually send Ash. Oh, man. I just doodly dooted 3 times.
Wow.
I wonder what I'm talking about. Okay.
All right. So pizza, I guess we're talking about. Right, so I was very excited to make some pizza, and now this is the pizza that I was excited to make.
Great. Okay, so
how is it?
Oh, my God, it's so good, Matthew.
Thank you. So, pan pizza, where do we even begin?
Okay,
how about memory lane? Did you enjoy the Pizza Hut personal pan pizza growing up?
So, I feel like Okay, I think I'm a little confused here because there are elements of Pizza Hut pizza that are...
Elements like radium and polonium.
That are basically just like pan pizza. I mean, Pizza Hut tends to have a crust that like has a bit of like a thicker, crispier, slightly oily quality. So I don't really... Is all Pizza Hut pizza pan pizza?
No. So I think that's Pizza Hut's most popular style of pizza, but you can order like a thin crust Pizza Hut or like the medium crust. Both Pizza Hut and Domino's have kind of converged on the like three different crust thicknesses that you can order. Pan pizza is the thickest and the thin and crispy is the thinnest and crispiest.
I remember seeing ads about this as a kid.
Yeah, there's just going to be so much chewing.
I feel pretty certain that what I'm thinking of as Pizza Hut pizza is actually their pan pizza.
I think probably, yeah.
I think so. So, yeah, I've had it.
But did you ever get the individual one as a kid?
I don't think so because my parents, like, we didn't tend to get Pizza Hut. If we were going to get pizza delivery, we would get, I remember getting Domino's.
I have very fond memories of the Pizza Hut personal pan pizza.
Really?
As a kid. Oh, yeah. It was like one of my favorite things. I think the price was probably like $2 back then. And it was, you know, like kind of like a
four. It was during the Great Depression.
It was during the Depression. It was four slices and maybe like 4 or 5 inches in diameter. And it was just perfect for one hungry kid. And you could get pepperoni or cheese or supreme.
Did it have the kind of texture of like Celeste pizza for one?
No.
Where it would kind of stick behind your teeth?
Mm-mm.
No. Okay. So
more very like oily and bouncy.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. I love oily and bouncy things. What about pan pizza?
That's one of my sects also. Like, that was the one that ruined the most recent presentation at the board meeting.
Did you say, I love oily and bouncy things?
That's all I said.
Okay, Matthew, hold all on. Right. What about, you wrote here on the agenda under memory lane, Wallingford Pizza House, colon, home of the dome.
Okay, this is a now defunct Seattle restaurant. Wallingford Pizza House was not its original name, but I don't remember the original name. It was the place that was between the two Guild 45th movie theater auditoriums. Do you know what I mean? On 45th in Wallingford. And it was like a Chicago-style pizza place, but their most popular thing, which was billed as like an individual thing but easily served too, was a style of pizza where they would put the ingredients in a bowl, stretch some dough over the top of the bowl, and bake it that way, like inverted, basically. So like the bowl is on the bottom and the crust is on the top. Then they bring that to the table. They kind of cut around the edge and present it like the, all the stuff gooshes out of the bowl into the crust. It was gross and great.
Why is this place no longer in operation?
I don't know. Like, wow. I think they're ahead of their time.
But I am trying to figure out the appeal of this. It seems like you would have a whole bunch. This seems like a pot pie.
So,
and it seems like you would have a whole bunch of like steamed ingredients inside.
So I think that is true to a certain style of pan pizza, and particularly Chicago pizza. So maybe we should talk.
Wait a minute. How is that even a pan pizza? Is the bowl the pan?
I guess the bowl's the pan. It's not really
that
a pan
is
pizza.
Not
okay, but
a
they
pan
also
pizza.
Serve pan pizzas.
Okay. Hold on now.
Yeah.
Can you give me like an overview of pan pizza?
Okay. First of all, we're definitely going to be mentioning friend of the show, Kenji Lopez, several times because he's developed a lot of pizza recipes for Serious Eats, some of which I will be mentioning.
Also, Kenji Lopez Alt recently showed up in my inbox in the New York Times cooking newsletter for, I think, a piece that he wrote about using mayonnaise in cooking, like as a marinade. Anyway, Kenji Lopez Alt, true wizard who is bringing delicious food to home kitchens everywhere.
True.
The Dumbledore of home kitchens.
He is, or maybe the
Gandalf?
Maybe the Gandalf.
McGonagall.
Maybe he can turn into a cat.
Okay.
probably, I think. He can do anything in the kitchen. He can turn into a cat in the kitchen, but in other rooms he can't.
Great.
So pan pizza is pizza that's cooked in a pan, and there are a variety of styles which we'll do kind of a very high level overview of. But to me, the thing that makes pan pizza special is not that it has a thick crust, because there's plenty of thick crust pizza that isn't cooked in a pan. It's two things. It's that the crust kind of fries in oil or butter, because you put either butter the pan or you put a slick of olive oil in there, and the crust gets really like crisp and oily. And there is often, but not always, and there is on this one, around the edge of the pizza, a frico of cheese, like a crispy cheese layer that turns black and looks like it would be overcooked, but it is not.
Yes. There are other, so there are a whole bunch of different names for what we're calling pan pizza, right? Are you going to talk about that? Did I ask you a question right when you're in the middle of chewing?
Always.
Can I have more pizza?
Okay,
I'm going to get more. All right, you vamp for a second.
I wanted to talk about four styles of pan pizza. New York, New Jersey, Sicilian, or grandma pie, which is at least kind of square pie that you get in New York that's baked in a large pan. It's often the crust is par-baked, and that's the kind that they serve at Dino's, a restaurant in Seattle that you may be familiar with.
Yes, I'm familiar with it.
We're going to talk about Detroit pizza. We're going to talk a little bit about Chicago deep dish pizza.
Okay.
And we're going to talk about Pizza Hut style cast iron pan pizza.
Okay. Whew, God. Wow. Okay. Take
I
it
know,
away.
This could go on for a while.
So we're starting with like New Jersey, New York, Sicilian, grandma pie. This is all sort of one category, also called a square pie.
Yep.
Okay.
And I think this pizza, it's got a good chew to it. Usually, you know, it's kind of, it's thick, it's real cheesy, it's, you know, if you think about like a square New York pizza slice, it's this style. It's very easy to make. Your grandma could do it.
Is that what you've made here today?
No. This is a Detroit pizza.
Oh my God, really? I don't know anything about this. All right, let's go.
See, I'm turning into internet pizza guy.
Wait,
already.
But hold on. If somebody wanted a really good recipe for like a New York square pie, where should they go?
Okay, there's a couple of good pan pizza cookbooks that have come out recently. One of them is by bread baker Peter Reinhardt, and it's called Perfect Pan Pizza.
Okay.
And it covers a bunch of styles, not Chicago, but all of the other styles that we're going to talk about. And that is where I would start because he's got great dough recipes for making a whole section on grandma and Sicilian pies. There's also a book called Emily the Cookbook.
Oh, yes. Emily, which is a restaurant in New York.
It's a restaurant in New York. I think they have one in Nashville now also. And it's a pizza restaurant. And at least one of their locations specializes in Detroit pizza.
Okay.
And was one of the restaurants that helped make Detroit pizza a nationally known thing in the last 5 years, maybe. And so the idea with Detroit pizza, there is an origin story to it that sounds way too good to be true, which is that it's baked in these.
Wait, hold on. Were you saying that Emily is New York style or Detroit style?
Detroit style.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay.
I mean, they do different styles of pizza at their different locations, but one of their I think ME Squared is their Detroit pizza place.
Okay. Okay. Ready.
So Detroit pizza is like the hot pizza of the moment, and not just because it came out of the oven. Wow, this, I feel like this episode has been so serious so far.
Oh my God, it's only because I'm chewing too much to make like dumb jokes.
I know. Okay, we'll get past the chewing at some point when we finished eating this entire pizza. The idea of Detroit pizza is the origin story is that it originated in the 40s at a restaurant called Buddy's Rendezvous. And the owner of Buddy's Rendezvous allegedly was an auto worker who would like smuggle home steel pans that were used to like carry around small like screws and small tools and stuff, and use those pans to bake pan pizza in his oven at home.
My God, I love these kinds of like legends.
Right, it's a great legend. Like, does that make any sense? Probably not. But Detroit pizza is made in a special pan that is it's like a steep sided but not square sided pan. And that's made of steel. I bought mine from Lloyd's, which was like the Detroit pizza manufacturer. It's kind of expensive. I think it was like $33. One thing I love about the pan that I bought from Lloyd's is that it comes with like a warning, not sticker, but like a warning slip of paper saying like, this is a piece of industrial cooking equipment. It's not supposed to be beautiful. If it has imperfections, that's normal. Deal with it. Which I absolutely loved.
Yes.
The idea with Detroit pizza is like it's a kind of a little bit light and focaccia style, like very wet dough.
Okay.
And you butter the pan, and you stretch this dough out in the pan, and it is topped usually like with it goes like ingredients. It can go cheese and then toppings, or toppings and then cheese. But if there's going to be red sauce, it goes on top in stripes.
Okay.
And often after the pizza is baked.
Okay.
And you sprinkle the cheese around, like mostly around the edge so that it drips down as the pizza bakes and forms this crispy cheese layer around the edge.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Okay.
I'm going to get another slice. You vamp.
Okay. So this is interesting. So I'm guessing then that whatever red sauce is traditionally used on a Detroit pizza would be cooked as opposed to most like New York style pizza. Sauces, at least for round pies, are not cooked. Although it's different for square pies. Like square pies in New York also have a cooked sauce.
Yeah, and I think cooked sauces work really well with these styles of pizza. I have tried doing the Red Stripe Detroit pizza, and what I found was it got soggy quickly, and I wanted to have the sauce on the side for dipping. So I know this is probably like a heretical pizza thing, but I think Detroit pies are best as white pies with optional sauce on the side.
So what was the sauce you used? It was just like a jar of ragu?
This is ragu, traditional old world. It was our favorite jarred sauce up from the jarred tomato sauce episode.
Amazing. Okay, cool. It's delicious with this white pie. Okay, so talk to me more about like... the cheese, how you think about applying the cheese, like, yeah. And also, no, but hold on. How is this different from a New York square pie? Other than, like, the placement of the sauce.
The type of pan used and the use of butter, which you'd never find butter under That's a New true. York square pie, I don't think. And not all Detroit pizza is made with butter, but a lot of it is.
Okay.
And, like, promotes browning.
Okay.
And the cheese, if you get it in Detroit, it's going to be Wisconsin brick cheese, which is like, it's like a mild white melting cheese that is hard to find outside the Midwest. I just use whole milk mozzarella and it's very good.
Yeah. Okay.
And you want to sprinkle it really like more than you think, like around the edge of the pan, because like where that grease is going to come from to really crisp up the pie, a lot of it is cheese grease that's dripping down.
And are you grating it like on the large holes of a box grater?
That's what I do. So often a Detroit pizza recipe will say like cut the cheese into cubes. And I've tried that and did not notice any difference.
Oh,
but
interesting.
And it's a fairly like...
How big were the cubes? Like
pretty small.
Okay.
I don't know, quarter inch cubes.
So like the size of like small Lego pieces.
Like size of small Lego. You could substitute small Lego pieces if necessary.
I love the crunch they bring. Love it. Almost as much as I like stepping on it.
I was just going to say I stepped on one of the cubes of cheese and my foot will never be the same.
Bring on spring projects with Spring Black Friday Savings from The Home Depot. With free delivery on over 2 million items, you can bring on the spring cleaning, the patio decorating, and the front yard gardening. And if you need it fast, get same-day delivery on thousands of products like fertilizer and seeds to keep your yard looking beautiful. Bring on the spring doing and spring your way only at The Home Depot. How doers get more done. Order select in-stock items by 4 p.m. subject to availability.
This episode is brought to you by Masterclass.
Matthew, take a minute and picture that thing that you've always wanted to learn.
All right, I'm picturing the thing.
Okay.
And you know, what if I get lost in the wilderness?
Well, okay, this is the thing?
This is the thing.
Oh, okay. Well, so picture learning it from someone who's literally the best at getting lost in the wilderness.
No, no, no.
In the world.
You don't understand, Molly. I want to get found in the wilderness.
Oh,
so,
okay.
And for that, I turn to Jesse Krebs, who is an internationally recognized expert on wilderness survival. She has a class on Masterclass, and she teaches like the five basic needs. And if you think number one is water, you're wrong. She teaches you how to use a knife, how to use rope, one of your most important tools in the wilderness. I don't think I'm going to get stuck in the wilderness, but if I do, I'm going to be really happy that I took this class on Masterclass.
Yeah, well, Masterclass is where you should go if you don't just want to think about learning something, but you actually want to do it with one-on-one classes with the world's best.
Yeah, if you want to learn singing from Christina Aguilera, if you want to learn shooting threes from Steph Curry, there's only one place in the world to do those things, unless you happen to know those people, which you don't.
Yeah, you don't. And every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so there's no risk.
And right now, our listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/spilledmilk15.
That's 15% off right now at masterclass.com/spilledmilk15.
masterclass.com/spilledmilk15.
Toppings.
Toppings.
So the toppings I used on this one, and this is a recipe from Emily, the cookbook.
Oh, you didn't just make up this combination of toppings?
No, but it's...
Because I was thinking that you were just... It's like the exact right amount of each thing.
Well, that's all me.
Oh.
Hi. I'm a pizza guy from the internet. It's jarred, Mazzetta brand jarred spicy cherry peppers, Italian sausage, and red onion slices.
Okay.
And it's got, I think they call it the street fair because it's supposed to represent like a sausage sandwich you would get at a New York street fair.
Mm-hmm. And so is this is obviously a yeasted dough. Mm-hmm. What kind of yeast do you use in this dough? Active dry?
Mm. Instant.
Mm. Instant. Okay. Mm. So we're eating this pizza at like 11 a.m. on a Thursday morning. When did you start making the dough?
I started making the dough. Was it after dinner on Monday?
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. So does it ferment in the fridge?
In the fridge, yeah.
Okay.
It's super simple dough to make. It's pizza dough. And so it like sat in the fridge for a couple of days and then I panned it up and you pan it and then you let it rise at room temperature for a couple hours and then put it back in the fridge so it doesn't collapse when you put toppings on it.
Okay. I have always been a little bit of an agnostic about making pizza at home.
Yeah.
I think it could be
because you think it may or may not exist?
No, I just think that I have, I've struggled to decide whether or not I believe in it.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be because I have had free access to pizza for the past decade.
I was just going to say.
Access to free restaurant pizza. At the same time, I have to say, Matthew, and I think that my former spouse is going to absolutely lose it, but I think this is the best pizza in town.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Oh, Matthew is like absolutely overflowing
now.
With emotion.
That to me, like that was better than any sext I could receive.
Oh, do you like it more or less than oily, bouncy things?
I don't like it's just like doodly doot all the way down. So this is what I wanted to say about pan pizza is like it is the best pizza to make at home, I think, because there is no you should get your oven hot, but it's like it's not the kind of thing where like you wish you could get your oven up to 685 degrees.
Yeah.
You know, 450 is fine. And you never have that moment of like, is the pizza going to come off the peel and onto the pizza stone or not? And it's just easy. Mm-hmm. It works every time.
No, it is delicious. And this really wonderfully like crispy bottom, I'm like, oh my God, it's so delicious. And I can't say that I taste that it was butter, that was the fat there, but it just has this wonderful toasty, crispy flavor and texture. And then, the like frico around the sides.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like, this did not require any skill.
Yeah.
It really didn't.
I can tell because I know you.
That's right. I never give 100% in anything I do.
No. Anyway, okay. Wow. So Detroit
pizza. We'll find a way to share this recipe.
I feel like I'm still struggling a little bit to like totally understand.
What makes it Detroit pizza?
Yeah. Because it just seems like a difference in like, it's a difference in pan, a difference in like sauce placement.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's still pizza.
Yeah.
It's not, Detroit pizza is not as different from other styles of pizza as Chicago deep dish pizza is.
Okay. Because this is also kind of like, you know, people who are really, if we're talking about like New York pizza, people will get all like, well, you know, I prefer New Haven pizza. Mm-hmm. I can taste the differences in those more than I can taste, for instance, like the difference between this and the New York style at Dino's.
Right. I mean, like I said, I used mozzarella. I've never had a pizza made with brick cheese and I don't know how it would be different.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. God, the Midwest is really great.
Yeah, people are so friendly, and they have pizza.
And they have pizza.
You just show up, and they like
got all this really great domestic cheese. They've got some big lakes.
Oh, some of the biggest lakes.
I mean, huge lakes.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely huge lakes. They've got some like really good farmland.
They've got like lakes. You stand on one side, and like your friend goes to the other side of the lake, and you can't even see them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what my friend told me to do, and like I haven't heard from them since. Like, just realizing now, I think I got ghosted.
Anyway, okay, let's talk about Chicago pizza, which I have really mixed feelings about including in this. I know that it's pan pizza, but it is such a different species,
right? Because it's so much thicker.
Yes,
and the sauce usually goes on top, And like there's just this enormously thick layer of bread and then like an enormously thick maelstrom of toppings and cheese.
Yeah.
And then sauce on top usually.
Yeah.
Here's what I think about Chicago deep dish pizza.
Oh, God.
And like,
oh, God.
This, I'm sure whatever I say about
it. Here about comes the internet pizza guy.
It'll be an uncontroversial statement. I think you take any other style, well-known style of pizza, and if it's good, it's great. And if it's bad, it's still pretty good, right?
This is the sex analogy.
Right, the sex, yes.
Yeah.
If you get a sext from a pizza, it's going to be pretty good. Chicago deep dish pizza is not like that. When it's bad, it's very bad, and you don't want to eat it.
You don't want to eat it?
I don't think so.
Have you had really bad Chicago's?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Where?
I don't remember.
You probably just don't want to name it.
Okay, you know where I've had Chicago-style pizza that I did not appreciate is at the Pizzeria Uno chain.
Oh, I think it's fair to malign them.
Yes.
It's a chain.
Because what you're getting out of a thin pizza is like, you know, like a little bit of crispy dough and some toppings on there. But like if you smoosh that all together into a 4-inch thick layer, like it has to be better than average, mm-hmm. I think.
Okay.
And we have one place in Seattle that does extremely good Chicago-style pizza.
Hmm. Okay.
Windy City Pie. Have you had it?
I have not had it.
It's great.
Wow. Okay, good to know. I have only had Chicago-style pizza once, and that was in Chicago.
How was it?
It was very tasty.
Okay.
I was sort of bewildered by it because I think I didn't understand how truly different it is from, you know, like what I've always thought of as like baseline pizza, which is like the like Domino's style thing I grew mm-hmm. up with.
Yeah.
You know, like more of a New York style.
Yeah. No, it like, yeah, I guess like compared to Detroit style or, you know, New York square pie, like you have to throw out everything you think of as pizza in order to enjoy Chicago style.
Yeah. I mean, it's like a pie.
It's a pie.
It's a pie, like a straight up pie.
Yeah, that would be a good name for a pizza place, Straight Up Pie.
Straight Up Pie. Well, we know what Matthew's going to do when, well.
What? Where are we going with this?
I don't know. I'm running. Oh,
oh
God,
no.
My brain is filled with Detroit-style pizza.
Were you going to say I was going to go straight up a pie?
No, I was saying that you were going to open a pizza place.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I think you were thinking I was going to go straight up a pie.
No.
All right, should we move on to the final style?
Yeah, let's go on to the final style.
I don't even know what to call this one. It's like cast iron Pizza Hut style.
Would this be made in a round pan?
In a round pan. I don't think Pizza Hut...
But how is that so different from a Detroit one that just happens to be made in a rectangular pan? Who cares what shape the pan is?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's got more...
I guess you don't get corners.
More oil. You don't get corners. And like the dough is a little denser than a Detroit style dough, I think. I don't know. Like you probably already have a cast iron pan around, so this one's going to be real easy to make.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a great recipe on Serious Eats from our friend Kenji Lopez-Alt for how to make a cast iron pan pizza.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I would add that I don't know if it's in the article or not is if you do have a pizza stone or pizza steel, whatever style of pan pizza you're making, put the pan right on the pizza stone and the bottom will brown better.
Okay.
I find that if I don't do that, then after my cast iron pan pizza comes out of the oven, when it's fully done on top, I need to like put it on the stove burner for a minute or two to get bottom browned enough, which is fine.
Oh, okay. I don't have a pizza stone.
Okay. I mean, then do this anyway, and maybe you'll have to crisp up the bottom on the stove a little bit.
Interesting.
Okay. You made a pan pizza, didn't you?
When?
I feel like you asked me for pan pizza advice sometime recently. I could be thinking of my other co-host.
Oh, I did. I forgot. I was using Delancey dough.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't think of it so much as a pan pizza. I mean, I think I thought of it as like trying to make pizza even easier than it otherwise is by like confining it to a pan and not having to deal with a peel.
Oh, so you're just all about like caging things.
I'm just about caging things.
Okay.
This is getting back to the bread bowl, the taco salad bowl conversation we had in the taco salad episode.
What was the gist of that conversation?
I don't remember. But it went in dark and politically charged.
Oh, right. I mean, not more politically charged than things I said about Detroit and Chicago pizza.
It's true.
Certainly.
Hey, why aren't we doing our corporate retreat this year in Detroit? Oh, God.
I mean, is it too late?
Missed opportunity.
Yes, it's too late.
It's too
Next
late.
Next year, we can do it. That's a good idea.
Except we keep doing it in like January or February, which is probably not a great time to be
in the Midwest,
like the upper Midwest.
But it's a great time to eat hot pizza. I'd be up for it.
Okay. 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 I'm ready for a nap.
Next year, see you in Detroit. If you're a listener in Detroit and want to explain to me like all the things I got wrong about Detroit pizza, I would actually like to know.
I hope that all of our internet pizza guys come out of the woodwork to.
You do?
Well, because I'm excited for you to get to engage with them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's going to be so fun.
Excited too. Like it'll Pizzagate too.
Is there anything we're going to be able to post on the website, or do we just want to tell people to buy Emily the Cookbook?
Okay, I will see if this recipe, if the recipe for Emily the Cookbook's pizza, Detroit pizza dough, is online, and if so, we'll link to that. You don't really need a recipe for the topping part because it's just like I said, raw sliced red onion. Yummy. You don't need to pre-cook it before it goes on. Italian sausage and cherry peppers.
Mm. Can I see the cookbook?
Yeah,
hand it to me.
It's a great It's not just a pan pizza book. It's also round pizzas and burgers and other stuff. It's a very nice restaurant cookbook.
Yeah. I see that.
We will post a link to Kenji Lopez Alt's Detroit pizza recipe and his pan pizza, cast iron pan pizza recipe. Did this episode have any laughs in it whatsoever? I guess we talked about ruining the board meeting with sexting. I'll give us credit for that. Molly's just reading a book now. So, you want to like read out loud like it's a bedtime story?
No, I was just looking at this picture of this couple and looking at how happy they both look standing outside their restaurant.
Oh,
it's really sweet.
But have you heard about her next book?
Oh, God, Matthew, please, it's too close to home.
Okay.
Please don't.
Sorry. Did you know you can pre-order Molly's book, The Thick Stars, right now?
It sounds like you just said The Thick Stars.
These stars are thick. That's like T-H-I-C-C. That's actually, when I suggested the title of the book, which I did, I actually said The Thick Stars, and
yeah,
you just misheard it.
Matthew did. I mean, to be clear, Matthew did help me come up. Matthew did suggest the title of this book.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to say that you helped me, but yeah, you came up with the title of this book.
But I didn't help any further than that. I think I hindered at some point.
No. You helped
so
much.
Yeah, see, there's the red stripes I was talking about.
God, these pies are so handsome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Molly's like gazing into my kitchen to see if my homemade pie lives up to the ones in the photos in the book. All right, so let us know just what kind of pan pizza do you like? What kind of pan pizza do you make? Facebook.com/SpilledMilkPodcast, SpilledMilkPodcast.com. You can comment at either of those places. You can send us an email, contact@SpilledMilkPodcast.com. You can find us on Instagram, @SpilledMilkPodcast. You can sext us. That's 206-555-1212.
Uh-huh. Was that information or time and temperature?
I think that's information.
Okay.
What happens if you sext the information number? maybe something great
happens.
Maybe
it's like when you say to Alexa, like, Alexa, tell me a dirty joke.
And what happens?
I have no idea.
Oh.
I don't have an Alexa. Do you?
No, I don't either. I think it's built into the Amazon app, maybe. Okay, we'll see. We'll see,
yeah,
if we can.
Okay.
A sexta. And
did you say a sexta?
Uh-huh.
Okay, all right.
We got to get out of here.
Oh my God, I need a nap now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Like a quarter of a Detroit pizza will do that to you. And until next time, thank you for listening to Spilled Milk, the show that's like a bunch of nuts and bolts rattling around in the pizza pan that is your brain.
I'm Molly Weisenberg.
And I'm Matthew Amster Burton.
Are you going to have us dip into the same bowl? Do you think I'm
a
monster?
Is that not cool? I do think you're a monster, but like a cool monster.
Like a
Frankenstein with like a jaggedy lightning streak in her hair.
Yeah. Okay.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.